the women chayiv in bris milah for their children. Women, is a mother, does a mother have an obligation to give her child a bris milah? Okay, that's the question. That's a sparsh. This is sparsh. We learn about tzipora. What?
That's a smachta.
Yeah, because that case, she saw that they were
going to...
Chasan
danim
lamulois. Okay, so we're going to...
Exactly. So let's discuss this.
It was a question
of Bikoch Nev, she's saying no, she's not a chayef. What she did, if the, why then would the Malach want to kill the child? Okay, let's discuss this right now. This is a topic, this is a big topic. This is a big topic. Generally, we have halach. You have a couple are blessed with having a child, a male child. What is it in the past? Isha ki sazriyav yalda zachar. Uvayoyim hashmini? Vashmini. It's parashas. No. That's parashas tazriya. Isha ki sazriyav yalda zachar v'hoya. So doesn't it say that it says it basically in reference to the woman? The whole parasha is there, is talking to the woman. Isha ki sazria, the older zohar. Who are we talking to? We're talking to the woman. Isha ki sazria, the older zohar. V'tamash, she will be contaminated for 7 days. V'tamash shivas yamim, just like she's tamei when she's a nida. A woman who gives birth is contaminated, just like she's a nida. Kimei nidas divoy satet uvayoyim hashmini. Yimol doesn't say timol though. That's the problem. It says uvayoyim hashmino yimol with the yud. Yimol is a man. Yimol besar or losoi.
No, the Yimol refers to Bissar.
Bissar
is
Zachar. Yimol, he will be Mal. So even though the Pasuk says that he, Yimol, doesn't say Timol. If the Torah was addressing the woman, it should say Timol, Bissar, or Losoi.
Yimol refers to Bissar.
No, Yimol is the person. Is the person.
The answer is no.
Yimol is the subject of Yimol is the person who's doing the circumcision. Yimol, he shall circumcise.
Yes.
What shall he circumcise? The besar, or losoi, the flesh. So the Yimol is going on the person doing the action. So it's interesting. The pasuk over here is injecting a male in the middle of a conversation that Hashem is having with the female. We're talking to the female. Isha ki sazria. Oh, wow. You're pregnant. Very good. OBGYN.
Addressing the man that he's responsible to make sure his wife knows what to do.
It's very interesting is that the Torah is speaking basically about a woman, Isha ki sazria. She conceives and then she gives birth, and the law is she has an obligation to observe 7 days of contamination, just like when she was a nida. And then all of a sudden, and then afterwards, going to send for 33 days, she shall observe 33 days of Tahara. And in the middle, it says, oh, by the way, on the eighth day, Yimol Besar Or Losoi. It almost, if you wouldn't be medactic on the grammar, which you should know many times we're not, there are many ways to get around this, you would really think the Torah is talking to her and telling her, listen, it's your kid. You're the one who gave birth to this child. And in fact, Chazal say over and over, Isha Mazriya Techila Yolede Zohar. If a woman conceives first, then she gives birth to a male, whatever that means scientifically, which we do know what it means scientifically, but whatever it means. If a woman is the one that initiates the process of conception, she will have a male child. So she gets credit. The one that gets credit for the male child is her. So don't you think it's her obligation to go and perform the bris milah?
No.
Well, why not? Not so pasha, why? So the only reason why is because it says, by Avraham Avinu, it's a drasha that says only you males and not females. Let me read you the drasha.
But doesn't she have to notify the husband that she gave birth if he's not there?
I hope so.
Well, I'm just saying,
I hope so.
No, the end of
yes.
The end of
yes. Okay, of course she has to.
Well, there's an Indian, I don't know where you get it from, but it's only someone who's Bukhoyev.
Oh, okay, we'll discuss that, right.
Just interesting from Avraham Avinu that he has to. So why wasn't Sarah the Mayo?
Okay, so the answer is in Parashas Lech Lecha, in the Parasha Bris Mila, it says, let me read you the drasha. It says,
can do the Mila.
It says,
a woman is not mechuyev in Mila herself for herself, so therefore.
Great, that's good. So that way we're going to come back. Okay, come back. Very good, excellent. But it says in the pasuk, oisoi, kasher tziva Hashem oisoi. The Gemara makes a drasha. The Gemara doesn't go any of this fancy footwork about discussing. Okay, the Gemara has a drasha. Kasher tziva Hashem oisoi. Vayomel Avraham es Yitzchak benoi ben shmoin as yamim. Kasher tziva Hashem oisoi. Like Hashem commanded him. Kasher tziva Hashem. Hashem commanded also him. And there's a drasha in Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Chof Tes, where the Gemara darshins all of the mitzvahs which a father has the obligations of a father to a child. And the Mishnah there says in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Chof Tes, in the Mishnah, one of the obligations is, it is the father's duty, obligation to do to his son a bris milah, and not the mother. How do you know this? So the Gemara is a pasuk. Kaasher vayomel Avraham es Yitzchak bino ben shmon as yamim. Kaasher tzivo oisoi Elokim. Those words are redundant. The only reason why they are there is to make a drasha oisoi veloi oiso, him and not her. So if Mordechai asked the question, why don't we have another? We have another drasha. The Gemara says this very often, the drasha of, let's say, vilimadetem oisam es bineichem. Does a mother have an obligation? Have an obligation to teach her children Torah, to be your child. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. Good morning. Does a mother have an obligation to teach her children? The Gemara says no. Why not? The Gemara says the only time you have an obligation to teach, to do something for somebody else, is when you have an obligation to do the same thing for yourself. And being that a woman does not have an obligation to learn Torah, at least not on the same level, the same degree. The Gemara says b'neichem v'loy b'noiseichem. Okay, so the level of obligation of Talmud Torah to a woman is not the same as it is to a man. So once a woman has no obligation to study, to learn, to study Torah, so it cannot be that she has an obligation to teach someone else. If it does not apply to you, it does not apply to someone else. Therefore, when it comes to bris milah, if it does not apply to a woman, if she has no obligation for herself to do a bris milah, so how could she possibly be obligated to do a bris milah to her child? Now I'm not being accurate now, because it's not really the point that I prepared over here. It's not the point that I prepared. I'm just talking from memories. That is not necessarily equivalent. Because a woman does not have an obligation to do bris milah because she does not have the biology to do a bris milah. The case of Talmud Torah, she could learn just as much as a man can learn. Okay? Okay? Her mind... Okay. A woman, if she wants... Okay, what's going on? A woman, if she wants, can learn Torah. A woman's mind is just as smart as a man. There's no difference between, yet the Torah is, even though technically, if you want, you can sit down and go to Kohl and learn, and you'd probably do a lot better in Kohl than the men. Be more studious. If the woman will go, however, the Torah says, no, The Torah says, no, I don't want you to do this. This is not your tafkid. V'limad themasam espenechem, l'daber bam. So where a person has an opportunity, has the ability, and the Torah comes along and says no, so then this is something that is not shaykh to me, and therefore I have no, therefore if I'm not obligated to do it for myself, it cannot possibly be that I have an obligation to do it for someone else. But when it comes to bris milah, the reason why a woman does not do bris milah is not because the Torah told her don't do bris milah. The Torah never ever exempted a woman from bris milah. It is a matter of mitzias. It's a matter of mitzias that a woman does not have the physical, no, not responsibility, the physical, the biology. A woman does not have the biology of a man that she there should be an obligation for her to have a bris milah. It doesn't exist by her. So that is not a pitur. What does that mean? What does that mean? A woman doesn't have an arla.
She doesn't have.
Therefore,
you
know. She's not
in the
Supreme Court. Well, we don't
know. A woman does not have an arla. Is that
responsible?
Let's take a step back. Rav Mordechai is asking a question. Rav Mordechai says, why do we need a pasuk to exempt women from the obligation to do bris milah for their children? You have a woman has a child. The husband, okay, Rabbi said, please, I can't. A woman has a child. A woman, and the husband's not home. His husband's in the army. He's out overseas. He's not available. Does she have an obligation to hire a moyel to go do a bris milah? Technically speaking, I know at the end of the day you can tell me another part. Let's just talk about the basic halacha of a father. There's a halacha. There's another dimension which we'll get to in a second, but let's just throw the elementary concept. There's a halacha that a father, Yimol, as a child, a father has an obligation to circumcise his child as a father to a son. Father to a son. Does the mother have that obligation in the case the father is not available?
No.
So the answer is no. Definitely not. Why not?
Yes.
What?
Yeah,
we're not up to that yet. That's what I said. There are multiple layers. There are layers of obligation. I want to start with the most elementary layer of obligation, that is a father to a son. The Torah says, Ben Shmoinas Yamim, I don't remember the pasuk this morning, but there's a pasuk which tells us that there's a special halacha, that there's an obligation for a father to circumcise his son. Okay, that's the first level of obligation. I know you are correct. There's another layer of obligation. Himol yimol, that is the bezdin. In the event that there is no father, then the obligation falls upon the bezdin. What does the translation of bezdin in this context means? That is subject to a major machlokes, rishonim, achroinim, if it means the community, if it means specifically a bezdin.
The woman have to notify the bezdin? That's the question.
I'm not up to the bezdin yet. I first want to discuss level A. There's level A, you're correct. There are two levels. There's level A, let's just make it like this, level A and level B. First is a father has an obligation to circumcise his son. In the event there is no father, there is a level B called Bezdin. Himol yimol lochem kol zochar. The pasuk says, there's repetition, the word is repeated twice to teach us that society has a duty to guarantee, to make sure that every male is circumcised. Now, how you want to define that concept, that is a big machloikis, if that means specifically a bezdin, or it means anyone in the street is automatically a representative of the bezdin to make sure that it's done. But let's all, for our purposes, include that under one umbrella, under one concept, the bezdin. Before we get to the bezdin, let's get to the basic. The basic is a father has an obligation to circumcise his son because he is the father. Let's say the father is not available. Does that obligation shift to the mother? Is there such a thing as a mother having an obligation to circumcise her child as a mother or as a partner with the father? And the answer is no. Why not? Because of a pasuk. Vayomol Avraham es Yitzchak binoy ben Shmoinas Yomim ka'asher tzivo oisoy Elokim. The word oso is not necessary. Kashar tziva Elokim. Why does it say the word oso? The Gemara says to teach you a halacha that a mother has no duty to circumcise her son.
Okay.
Now,
which would come into play if the father is not there. The father normally would make the moel his shoulder.
So you're saying a nafka mina. The mother does not need to make the bezdin a shliach. So Rav Dov is saying a nafka mina. The nafka mina is that today there is a custom when the father, most fathers are not professional mohalim,
right,
and you hire a mohel, a professional. So the custom is that the father, he says to the mohel, listen, buddy, this is my mitzvah, not your mitzvah. I am hereby appointing you as my agent.
Maybe the only reason he does it is so he can make the bracha.
What?
The Mayel should make the bracha because he's doing the milah. But the father wants to be able to make a bracha. So he says, you're not making the bracha because you're the Mayel. You're making the bracha because you're my shalim.
Okay, fine. Very good.
That's why he stays with the bracha.
Okay, that's very nice. Okay, beautiful. Agreed. Very nice. This is my mitzvah, not your mitzvah. Right. You are nothing more than my agent. Period. So Rav Dov is saying that what happens if the father is not available? So then let's assume, and you should know that what I'm telling you over here is not so partial, what I'm telling you, because the famous Or Zorua, okay, one of the early Rishonim, who disagrees with this principle, and he holds that the mother is an equal partner with the father. Okay, equal partner, and the drash of Os, I don't know the lumbus, I'm not doing the Arzuro now, but according to Rav Dov is saying, the nafkah means, let's say there is no father, the father is out of town, and now the mother is the one that is hiring the moel. The mother does not need to say to the moel, I am appointing you as my agent, because it's not my mitzvah. The mitzvah is upon the father. If the father is not available, if he died, or he's just whatever the situation is, then it becomes the obligation of the community. And not the mother. The mother is nothing special. The mother is nothing more than another member of the community. So when the Moel does the bris milah, there will be no need for the mother to say, I'm appointing you to be my agent. The Moel doesn't need to be appointed as the agent of the mother. The mother is nothing, is not the Bezdin. The mother is just a member of society, and the Moel is a member of society. It's all the same. And therefore the Moel does it on his own as a representative of society automatically. It's not the mother's mitzvah. How do you know this? We know this from the pasuk of the word Oso. Along comes Rav Mordechai Mintz, and he asks the question, why do we need a pasuk of Oso? There's a fundamental reason, much more fundamental reason why the mother is not obligated to do bris milah. Because we have a general rule. The rule is, if a person has no obligation to do this mitzvah for himself, then you have no obligation to do it for somebody else. A woman, by definition, is not obligated in bris milah for herself, because she does not have an arla. Okay? Biology. Biology 101. A woman does not have an arla. So she's not obligated to do a bris milah for herself. See, she is not a subject of bris milah. So therefore, she has no obligation to do it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So the answer to that question is, that's not an exemption. The exemption of not having an obligation, if you're not obligated, so you're not obligated for someone else, is only in a situation where potentially you could do it, and the Torah comes along and knocks you out. Torah says, I don't want you to do it. For example, Talmud Torah. A woman does not have the same degree of Talmud Torah as a man. A woman has Torah also, but it's different. It's different. The Torah says, "Ulimaditem oisam es b'neichem, b'neichem v'loy bin oiseichem." Can a woman theoretically go to Kollel? Can a woman learn Torah? Why not? Of course. They do very well. They're very, very intelligent. Much more intelligent than most men. So Chazal say, Hashem gave Nashim bina yisera. Bina Yisera. So a woman can't learn Torah. Why can't she learn Torah? Yet the Torah says you could do it, but you're exempt. Why you're exempt? That's not our topic. She's exempt. So when you have a situation where the Torah says, really, you can do it, but you know what? You're exempt. Then, if the Torah told me they don't want me to do it, then there's a svara to say, if you have no obligation to do it, even though you theoretically can, then you have no obligation to do it for somebody else. But if the only reason why you cannot do it is because you can't do it, because of the biology, because you have no arla, the Torah never said don't do it. If you had an arla, you would do it. You just don't have an arla. So then if you, under your custody, you have a child that has a bris milah, why should you be different than your husband? You brought into this world a child that needs an arla. The same way the father has an obligation, the mother has the same obligation. The mother is even a greater partner in the child than the father. The mother carried the baby for 9 months. And as I mentioned, the whole pasuk of Vayoyim HaShmini Yimol B'Sarah Lasei is smack in the middle of describing the woman, not the man. So why? So therefore, to say the reason why we should exempt the mother, let's say the father is no longer alive, and now we want to shift it to the mother, and you want to go say, listen, the mother, I'm not shaykh in this mitzvah. You are shaykh in this mitzvah. It's a technicality. The reason why you can't do the mitzvah is because you don't have an arla. Torah never exempted you. If the Torah exempted you, oh, that's a powerful concept.
I'm wondering if kol shein roi gubigo, bigo ma keves. Kol shein roi gubigo. So she's not roi.
Okay, so you're saying you don't agree with the svara because there are other factors. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. This is a delicate svara. This svara, okay, it's not my svara. This is what they say. You're right. And then you're adding in the concept of kol roi lebil makavis. It's a little bit different type of topic. You have to be done. Okay, it's a little bit different. That. All right. Okay. Let's just
flip the question. If the father was exempt from milah.
He had
brothers who died, all the other reasons. So he was exempt. Is having a kiv to do for his son?
Let's say it again. If the father was
exempt for his own milah,
it's a technicality. Definitely not. The reason why he's exempt because meisu achav machmas milah. It's dechuya. A person, can't possibly otherwise. If a father did not do bris milah because of a medical condition. That doesn't have, he's still chayv in bris milah. He's certainly chayv in bris milah. Of course he's chayv due to his child. If the child does not have that medical condition, of course he would be chayv. Okay, now let me ask you another question. Why do we need the drasha? Why don't we go say that a woman is part of it? Because the mitzvah says she has zman groma. It's zman groma. Bris milah is on the eighth day. Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar or losai. So why do we need to come out of the pasuk of yimol, the pasuk of kasher tziv Hashem oisoi? There's another svara. There's a woman's not chayv in bris milah. Any mitzvah, I say.
But the mitzvah is called zman.
What?
Mitzvah called zman.
But it first begins on day eight.
Right.
Okay, so the answer, you're saying a very good svara, is that mitzvah says shazman grom is only when the mitzvah starts and ends
right.
On a zman. Bris milah, once it starts, it never ends. It's continuous. And there are many different ways to learn that what that means.
Is there a mitzvah
of Migla night? Bidi yes. Once the Zman begins, a bris milah at night is also called a bris milah. Once the Zman, if it's done before the before 8 days, uvayoyim hashmini, the milah begins on the day of the eighth day, not on the night of the eighth calendar day. But once the yoim begins, then let's say he has a bris milah.
Further days, of course, I agree. Further days, you can do with the ninth day, the tenth day. But I think the day, you have to do with the day.
Right, that's l'chatchila. Yeah. But let's say, for argument's sake, let's say it happened that a bris milah was done, let's say, on day 10, and it was done by mistake at night. L'shei milah. Is it a bracha levatala? Do you need a tofes tam bris later on? Pasht is no, you don't. Only if you did it on day, only if you did it on day, on the night before. If even though it's the eighth day, it's now Vachnacht, right? So you go for Vachnacht.
Yeah.
So it's not Yom. The Zman Mila, the din of Yom is when does it start? Just because today is the eighth calendar day and it's Tseis HaKoychavim, it's sunset, Tseis HaKoychavim, you can't do bris milah yet. There's no chiyuv. It's a bracha levatala. If you do the bris milah now, you need to do hatofes tam bris. The hascholas hazman of milah is by yoim hashmini. It's by the day. And once it's by yoim, so if it's going to be a milah shaloi bizman, by yoim. It has to be by day. By yoim. But bidyevit, let's say it was done at night. Once the zman already started, then even though it's not correct to do it at night, but you can't say that it's not a bris milah because it's not already started. I do not believe that it's ma'akev, it's a bracha levatala, and it's ma'akev. I think in the Holocaust, there was a lot of stories where they did a bris milah at night. I mean, how many babies were born in these circumstances, you know, whatever it is. But, okay, so why is it called zman grama? So it's not your typical zman grama. A zman grama is a mitzvah which comes and goes. Bris milah, it never goes. Once it starts, every moment a person has a bris milah, he's mekayim a mitzvah, whether it's day, whether it's night. And once the zman starts, it never ends. A person does not have a bris milah, there's a chiyuv every single second until the rest of his life to have a bris milah. So there's no end. It's not your typical zman grama where it comes and goes. So that's not necessarily an excuse to excuse a person for a woman. So therefore, we can't just knock off a woman because she does not have a bris milah. The Torah never exempted her. The Torah just didn't address her because she's just not a mitzias, doesn't have a bris milah. As far as zman grama is concerned, it does not follow the rules of zman grama. Once it starts, it never ends. That's not the classic type of zman grama. So therefore, a woman would l'chor be chayev to circumcise her son as a mother. Along comes the drash of Yom HaShmini, Kasher Tziv Hashem, Oisoy, Oisoy, Veloy, Oisoy. She does not have this obligation. It's not her obligation. It is, and now, so therefore she'll sit back and do nothing. Einachinami. She could sit back and do nothing. There's a new obligation. Himol called Zohar, a separate drasha, which puts an obligation of bris milah upon the words of the Gemara on Bezdin. And now you get into a big tumult of what exactly that means. It's not for our topic. But basically, a woman would be no different than being an extension of the Bezdin. An extension of the Bezdin. Okay, now what do we need with all this? Why are we giving this long, lengthy introduction? Because of this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we have here Tzipora. Tzipora, something happened. Now, exactly what happened is not clear, and there are different opinions. There's a Rashi, there is a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, and there is a Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel was from the earliest Rishonim and had enormous influence over the Rambam. I don't know exactly if the Rambam ever studied by him. I don't know exactly. The Rambam was the Rimigash. So I don't know exactly where Rabbeinu Chananel comes into the Rambam, but they always say over, and all is that if you have a Shever Rambam, if you really don't, the Rambam seems to be Mamish Kenegeta Gemara, look at Rabbeinu Chananel, and you will discover that many of the difficult Rambams that don't appear to follow what it says in the Gemara is because the Rambam learned the Gemara like Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, you need a magnifying glass to see what it says in the margin of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel was the earliest Rishonim.
When did he live also?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. If I did know, I totally forgot. Maybe Rabbeinu Chananel was the Rebbe of the Rimigash. Rambam was a late, not from the early Rishonim. Rambam was pretty late. Not very late. Barbanel was called a Rishon. But the Rambam wasn't from the earliest Rishonim. It's like from the mid-level Rishonim. And before him, there were other Rishonim. And it seems the Mesoira of the Rambam came much a lot from Rabbeinu Chananel. And he has a very different understanding of what it says in this week's parasha. So let me read you what it says in Rashi. Then I'll read you Yonasan ben Uziel, and then we'll see Rabbeinu Chananel, and then try to understand exactly how what we've learned about Tzipora connects with Tzipora's involvement in the Bris Milah in the world of Halacha, or at least in the world of Agadah, how it interplayed with what happened in this story. So Moshe asks Yisro, "Can I go home?" He says, "Gesundheit, you want to go? Go." Fine, he goes. Now, what happens? Let me turn to the page. They come, and on the road, Kilim the son of Kol Midyan. I mean, if I'm Moshe Hayiroye, Vayemer Al Tikrav Haloyim. I'm sorry, I'm not finding the right place. Okay. Vayelech Moshe vayoshel yeser choisnoi. Vayikach Moshe es isha v'yezbon vayakim al chamor. Vayim Hashem al Moshe b'lech chodesh b'tshayma. Fine, a little further. Vayihi baderech bamoloin. The hotel. What hotel was this? Sheraton? Which hotel was this? Motel 6? Okay, vayihi baderech bamoloin. Vayifgesheyu Hashem. Vayifgesheyu Hashem, Hashem met him. It says Yudkei Vavkei, and this Hashem is I don't know what this means. Hashem using such a very powerful Shem Hashem. Vayifgesheyu Hashem Yudkei Vavkei. Vayivakesh Hamisoi. Who tried to kill who? He tried me Omar El Ami. Who tried to kill who? So Rashi, it's very important to know. Very basic, right? Very elementary. Vayivakesh Amisa Rashi, Pasik Chav Dalid, Rashi, Vayivakesh Amaloin, Moshe was in the hotel. Vayivakesh Hamiso, here is Rashi, Hamaloch, the angel, Le Moshe. Moshe was the one that was being attacked, not the baby. The baby was going to live. It was Moshe that was going to be killed. Why? Lefi Shaloi Mol Es Eliezer. Wow. Eliezer. Who was the first son? Gershon. Who is the second son? Eliezer. Now this is critical. Rashi is telling us that Gershon was not part of the problem here. Gershon, it would appear from Rashi, already had Gershon with a nun?
With a mem.
I'm sorry. Gershom. Gershom with a mem. Gershom was already gemalt. He's done. He already had his upshare. He's finished. He's wearing tzitzis, cute little boy with little payas. Got no problem with him. The problem is the second child, Eliezer. How old was this child? It doesn't say anywhere how old he was. It doesn't say that today was his eighth day. It doesn't say if this is Mila Bizman, Mila Shloi Bizman. It doesn't say anywhere. You want to say it was Mila Bizman, you're making a major, major assumption that it does not say in the Pasuk. Many Rishonim say it was the eighth day, it was Mila Bizman, it was the eighth day. Okay. Shloi Mol Es Eliezer Benoi. The Al Shen Nisrashel, and because Moshe was lazy, he was Nisrashel, he was lax. I don't know a good translation. Nisrashel, he just was not diligent enough. Oynesh nenash oynesh misa. He was chayiv misa for being lazy in not circumcising his second son Eliezer. Tanya Omar Rabbi Yosi chas v'shalom loy nisrashel elo Omar. But here's the whole conversation. Emol, should I do a circumcision before we left home? V'yesi laderech sakana hilatinik sakana ad shloish yamim. Emol, should I do a circumcision at home? The esh and wait shloshi yamim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu tzivu l'chol shuv mitzrayim. Hashem told me go. Why didn't Moshe chayiv misa? Lefi shenis asek b'maloin techila. He went and he was busy checking into the hotel before doing the circumcision. V'hoi amalach nasek minocha shokhev boilo yiswalo numem roshu v'yad yirechav v'choizu boilo miragal v'yad oitzumokom. He was swallowed up in two shots. First from the head down, and then from the legs up until the bris milah. He vina tzipora. Tzipora understood shebishvil hamilahu. It's because of the milah, because that's where the malach over here is. From the circumstances, so what did she do? She did the bris milah and she saved, fine. What do we take out of Rashi? We take out of Rashi a few important yesodos. Number one, Moshe was the one who was under attack. Tzipora was the one who saved the day. The child that we are describing is the second child who was Eliezer. And because it's the second child, it does create a possibility that we're dealing with Mila Bizman. And that's a very important thing to keep in mind. A Mila, a circumcision on the eighth day, is a very critical thing. Try very hard to have Mila on the eighth day. It's only when, because of medical conditions or because of Chil Shabbos, we have no choice to delay it to the ninth day. And then you really get into a very big world of halacha, a big, big, big dilemma. Who now has the obligation? You know, this opens up a whole can of worms. I don't mean can of worms, it opens up a whole world. A whole world. Because basically what I'm trying to say is that when we are used to hearing all this beautiful lumdis about bris milah, about it's the father's obligation, if not the father, then goes to the bezdin, and there's din of zrizim akim lemitzvahs. Do all of these lumdis, does that apply even if it's not on the eighth day? Can you argue that if the bris milah is not on the eighth day, then there's no emergency, there's no din zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs? Can you say such a thing? If the bris milah is on the eighth day, bris milah is 6:30 in the morning. If it's already not on the eighth day, you know what? We'll do it. We'll do it in the afternoon. Why should we do it? We'll do it on Sunday when everyone's available. We'll do it in the afternoon. Is there zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs? Is it possible to say that maybe a mother, the obligation of a mother is different if the bris milah took place on day 8 versus taking place shaloi b'sman? There's an Ar Zeruah. The Ar Zeruah, we have to deal with the Ar Zeruah, how he learns the psukim. He says that the mother is an equal partner in the bris milah, and if there's no father, it's the mother's duty. And he says, if now I remember, it's coming back to me, the only time that it says the word oisoi, everyone, although anyone who touches the sugi bris milah, they all discuss the Ar Zeruah. And the Ar Zeruah says that when it says in the pasuk oso, the miut oso is only when there is a father. Okay? When there is a father, then the Torah exempts the mother. But if there is no father, it is the mother's duty to do a bris milah. The drash of oso, kasher tziva Hashem oso, oisoi v'loi oso, is only when there's a father. If there is no father, the Ar Zeruah says, then no, it's the mother's mitzvah, not Bezdin, the mother. The mother's mitzvah. Does that only apply on day 8, or does that apply even all the other days? I'm just opening up some questions, and this is, milah, as you know, is a very big topic. Now, let me read to you an entirely different story here. An entirely different story as to what happened from the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, Rashi, let me just find the place over here. Ben Hanano, where is it? Let me read you first, Ben Hanano, because I'm gonna get too confused. Okay, let me read you Ben Hanano. Vine, okay, we're gonna skip the target. We're gonna go to Ben Hanano for a moment. Vine, Ben Hanano biyoma, sech diyoma daf pehe, koisev dvar chidush. Vayhi baderech ba'moloin, vayifkesheu Hashem, vayivakesh hamiso. Who did the Malach want to kill? Letinoik, not Moshe. Moshe was not part of the whole story. Moshe was busy checking in. He was busy making arrangements. Moshe was not involved in this story at all. Moshe was busy saving Klal Yisrael. He didn't have time for this. In fact, the only rise Moshe Rabbeinu is oisek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. It's a fairish gemara when you oisek b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, even when you're resting. A person who's going on a trip to a dvar mitzvah and he stays over in a hotel, he's potter mikol ha-mitzvahs, even when he's resting. Even when he's, if you're on the way to do a mitzvah, even at the time when you're resting, you're torahed. You're fatracht in doing the mitzvah, you're exempt. Moshe Rabbeinu had absolutely no obligation to involve himself in the mitzvah of bris milah because he had to save Klal Yisrael. Hashem recruited him. Klal Yisrael, there are 600,000 men over the age of 20 that are in Sakon Mordeh, only Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, there was an enormous population of Jewish people in Sakona. Every single second Moshe's mind was preoccupied with Hatzolas Yisrael. He is exempt from dealing with bris milah. Whose obligation would it then be to do bris milah? It would be Tzipora. Why Tzipora? Because she is a representative of the Bezdin. There's no one else. This is Rabbeinu Hanano. So how come the Malach didn't want to kill her? Why did the Malach want to kill her? Because she's only a representative. Don't shoot the messenger. She's only a representative. So who then is the Malach going to kill? Rabbeinu Hananel says, Vayivake Shami So Letinoik.
Yeah, but what did the baby do wrong?
Tzadik Viraloi. Good question. What did the baby do wrong? Tzadik Viraloi. I don't know the answer. This is a general question. Hashem gave them a child. The child is not getting a bris milah. So you know what? The child doesn't, so there's no need for you to have this child. I'll take him back. Hashem's, I'll take him back. Vayivake shami so letinoik. These are the words of Ben Hananel. Why? Bibnei shen nis'atzlo imoy. Rabbeinu Chananel. Hey, look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, the Rebbe of the Rambam. Because the mother was lazy. V'loy mole oisoy. And did not circumcise him. V'kevan shehir gisha. She saw the baby is dying. She saw the malach is killing the baby. She understood shergisha mole oisoy. V'korosa. Who did she call the chasan domim lamulois? Not Moshe. Everyone learned it's so romantic, this parasha. It's Sipora called her husband the Chasan Domim, my bridegroom of blood, because of Mila. What does that all mean? That's a very, very, what is it? What does that mean exactly? I don't know what that means exactly, but everyone, Rashi learns Chasan Domim Lamulois, it's Sipora, called Moshe Rabbeinu. He almost died. Rabbeinu Chananel says no such thing. The one who almost died was the baby, and when she saved the baby, she renamed the baby. This is my chosan. You call the baby a chosan. Some nuschos call the baby the chosan. The chasan damim lamulois v'korosa chasan damim v'hitzilatoi min hamisa shenemar vayidef mimenu. Who's mimenu? Mimenu is not Moshe. Mimenu means from the baby. Perish vayiref choili hamaves meitoi min hatinoik. According to Rashi, vayiref that he released, the malach released himself from him, mimenu, from him. Who is the subject of mimenu? Lefi Rashi, it's Moshe. Lefi Rabbeinu Chananel, it is the baby. Oz Omara, she said, Chasan Domim Atoli, Bidme Hamila, you, my child, are the Chasan Domim, a bridegroom or a groom of blood, Bidme Hamila, through the Mila. So this is an incredible Chiddush. An incredible chiddush here from Rabbeinu Chananel that over here the entire conversation was between Tzipora and the baby. Moshe has nothing to do with this story altogether. Now, what about Rabbeinu Chananel? What about the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel? So give me one moment, I can turn the page and find it, or I marked it off. I'm almost sure I marked it off. I don't know why my mind is playing games with me over here. Okay. Take out a Chumash Targum Yonasan over here, Ben Uzziel. Okay, Targum Yonasan says that the baby, he learns like Rashi. He basically learns like Rashi that it was all about Moshe Rabbeinu, but the baby was not Eliezer. The baby was Gershom, the first baby. And Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel explains because he made a deal with Yisrael. And the deal was, the first child that I have will be an Oyved Avodah Zarah. That was the condition, prenuptials. The condition of marrying Tzipora is that Yisra was an Oyved Avodah Zarah, and the first child has to follow the rules of, here it is, I found it. Let me read you Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. I'm going to read to you. I'll first read to you in Aramaic and then Hebrew. V'ha'ave b'orcha b'beis mafsusa v'ada b'malcha b'dashem uvaka l'miktalei min b'glal gershoim b'rei d'loi havi gezir. He was not circumcised. Why not? Al isek Yisroi chamohi. Because of the dealings with Yisro, his father-in-law, d'loi shafkei Limigzere, he did not allow Moshe to circumcise his son, period. Biram, but Eliezer, Havigazar, was already circumcised, Bitino, through the condition, the As Nioi Tarvehoin. In other words, Targum Yonasan says that when Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to marry Tzipora, Yisro told him, you want to marry me, one condition. The first child is going to follow my religion. And my religion does not allow circumcision. There will not be circumcision in my family. And Moshe agreed. Believe
Why
it or not.
Why did we agree to something like that?
Hakesef ya'anes hakol. I don't know. You're asking a really, really good question. You're asking a question that...
Didn't Yisro give up Avodah Zarah by then already?
Later, no, it seems not. Atto Yodati. After Kriyas Yamsuf. Because, I don't know, yes, there are different midrashim, you're true, I know what you're saying, you're referring to that he chased them away because he converted and therefore he abandoned the idolatry and they put him away. Yes, so there are midrashim that disagree. That we know that not every there are many midrashim which conflict, and it's not always possible in our limited understanding to reconcile them. So I don't know the answer. I don't know. Rav Mordechai, I don't know. Rav Heshi, I don't know. These are very tough questions that the Mepharshim deal with, and the answers are not necessarily satisfying to everyone. They're very difficult questions, but straightforward. It says that Moshe agreed to Yisro. He took a shvua that he would obey by the rules, and the first child would follow in the ways of Yisro, whatever that means, different interpretations. He'll first have to experiment and come to Hashem through a intellectual approach rather than a munapshut or whatever it is, and Gershoim, the first child, did not have circumcision. The second child, the Targum Yonis and Menuzil, explicitly states had circumcision, beyond any question. So he says, now that Rashi went out of his way to say that's not the case. Rashi says that who is the child? Rashi didn't need to say anything. If Rashi would not have said anything, so wherever it is, it is. One of his children, whatever it is, it is. Rashi says, no, this is Eliezer. Targum Yonis and Menuzil says, no, this was Gershom. What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, was this Yom Hashmini? Was this the eighth day? That's the big nafkamina. Was this, if you learn that it was Gershoim, then it wasn't Yom HaShmini. It's not Yom HaShmini. Can't be. Because if Eliezer, who's the younger child, already had Bris Milah, then Gershoim and did not have Bris Milah, and the reason why he did not have Bris Milah was because they made an agreement that he would not do Bris Milah, and obviously now, when he left Midian, when he was no longer under the jurisdiction, the authority of his father, this Tanai is batal umavotal. Okay, this condition that he's not going to do it, whatever this means, you know, you're not allowed to swear to him, batal minatoyra, whatever it means. But obviously, now that they left Midian, he is no longer bound to observe the conditions that he made with his father-in-law Yisro. It now comes upon him an obligation to do bris milah, but it's milah shle bisman, according to the Targum. It was milah shle bisman. It was past the eighth day. Because if Eliezer had bris milah and the older brother did not have bris milah, so it comes out according to this, we have here three different mahalchim as to what exactly happened. Rashi and Targum Yonis ben Uziel appear to be on surface the same thing. We're dealing here Moshe. Moshe is under attack for not doing Bris Milah. He's under attack. Who is the child that needs Bris Milah? So here's the point of difference. Rashi, it is Eliezer, and Targum Yonis ben Uziel, it is Gershoim. What's the nafkamina? It is plausible, and many Rishonim want to say that there's some, I don't know many, but they want to say is that the different Rashi we're dealing with Mila Bizman. And Mila Bizman is a whole different world. There's something to it. We don't appreciate it. You see some people they get all worked up about this. Mila Bizman. If you know you make it on time. And Yom HaShmini, you'll go, you know, go Meshuggah with the Billy Rubin and with this and with this and with this and the Shkia, what exactly was the baby born? Can we do it Mila Bizman? You don't want to deny your child the Zuchus of Mila Bizman. It's a Davar Choshev. How are you going to look at your child and say, you know, we weren't really sure, so we just say, yeah, we'll wait until the next day. We did a new Mila Sheloi Bizman. How could you say that to your child later on in life?
Because he's never on time anyway.
How could you deny your child the zuchus? We don't know how all these things work in Shemayim. We have no idea. If halacha allows you to do milah bizman, do it. Do it. If halacha does not allow, so don't do it. But to be lazy and to say, yeah, listen, I'm not going to even bother asking the shayla. we'll do it tomorrow, we'll do it on Sunday. That's a horrible, horrible thing. Okay, so there's something called Mila Bizman. According to Rashi, there is a possibility we could assume that it was Mila Bizman. According to the Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel, it definitely was not Mila Bizman. And yet, the Malach came for Moshe Rabbeinu. It definitely opens up a more of an understanding according to Rashi. Rashi makes it much more understandable why the Malach was out to get Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe, the clock is ticking. If this is Mila Bizman, this is Eliezer, your second son, it's Mila Bizman, what are you being busy with the Malone first? Take care of the clock is ticking. The window of opportunity is running out. What's going on over here? According to Targum Yonas Ben Uziel, he already missed the deadline. We already missed the deadline. It's like you see this today. You see that once a baby already is not going to be ready bizman, there's no rush. They don't. The doctors and the Moalim, they're not in any rush. Once you already missed the Mila bizman, okay, you have to do Mila as soon as possible. The few little situations I've seen is you miss Mila bizman. What's the rush? Another day, let's wait. Let's not take any who. No one wants to today. No one wants to be responsible. No one wants accountability for nothing. No one wants to bear responsibility for nothing. So once already, it's not bizman. So there's no emergency. So why did the Malach come for Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, when already it's not Mila bizman. So some will tell you, Pumfakert. The din of Zerizos is exactly why the Malach came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not bizman, you're going to go now, you're going to be lazy. Adarab. It's even more important now. And it's almost as if it's sending a message from Moshe Rabbeinu in the world of Agada. You're coming now to Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're dealing over here with a Zman. You're dealing with Zmanim. It's supposed to be 400 years, 430 years. Bris Ben Absarim. No, once you know this Ita Achishena, listen, once we didn't meet the Zman, we didn't make it to the finish line. We didn't make it to the Zman of Gula. It's no longer going to be Achishena. So another day. So another day, Mashiach doesn't come. You can learn that the Malach was angry with Moshe Rabbeinu. You can say a svar both ways. It's an extreme thing that just because Moshe was nisrashel on the Moloin, he took care of the hotel matters before he took care of the bris mila, that is chayev misa, oinish misa. What's the longest? So you can say the svar both ways. If you want to go learn that it was mila bizman according to Rashi's Eliezer, mila bizman. Mila bizman ziza makdimim lemitzvos. Now, if not now, lo yachshav imosai. If you want to go learn, but had it been shloim bizman, the Malach would say, all right, another day. Well, pumfakert. If it would have been bizman, the Malach wouldn't bother him because you got time. You still got time. You have a half a day left. You'll take care of the hotel. Take 5 minutes, and then you'll do the bris mila. You're okay. But bedafka, because it's mila shloim bizman. It's Gershoim. And now he has not had the opportunity to do this. Adarabah. You're not going to immediately, it didn't bother you all this time. They didn't have bris mila all these months and years, whatever it was. Adarabah. There's going to be even a greater tzvia. It's like Rabbi Reisman says. Rabbi Reisman says that his favorite day is he can't wait. I don't know if he says it as a joke or he's saying it seriously. He says his favorite day is the second day of Iyar. Iyar, can't wait already for the second day of Iyar. Why? Exactly. He didn't say Tach, whole month he didn't say Tachnon. I'm chalashing to say Tachnon. Chalashing, Rosh Chodesh, a whole month. How could you survive a whole month? I just saw someone wrote a joke that this rabbi, he goes to Florida every Monday and Thursday just to avoid saying Tachnon. Okay, so then there's another one who says that he can't wait until the day after Ishruchak. Tefillin. The whole Yom Tov, he didn't wear tefillin. It bothers him so much, he can't wait to wear tefillin. This baby did not have bris milah for all this time. How could you delay giving the baby bris milah? Adrabah. Now, what about according to Ben Hananel? So this opens up a whole new world. Rabbeinu Hananel knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was not involved, a key who's in this whole story. Moshe Mandekar Shemei, he's not mentioned. And why? He has here pages and pages and pages. Half the thing over here is Oisek B'mitzvah Potur Min HaMitzvah. Moshe has no obligation. He's involved in Atzolas Nefoshos. It is not his obligation to delve into this. This is not his department. Whose department is it? It's Tzipora's department. Oh, so why didn't the Malach come for her? According to Rashi and Yonis and Menuzil, the Malach came from Moshe. Why didn't the Malach come for the baby? Why didn't the Malach come for the baby? You know why? So you're just opening up over here a whole. These are some of the arguments that are presented. Because Moshe has an obligation. It's his problem, Moshe. You don't want to mal the baby, it's your obligation, it'll swallow you up. But Tzipora, if you learn like Rabbeinu Hananel, Moshe's not responsible. So whose responsibility is it? It's Tzipora. But Tzipora be'etzem is not chayiv. She's not chayiv in bris milah. Tzipora is not her obligation. Is nothing more than a shaliach bezdin. She doesn't have the etzem chiyuv, so she's on chayiv misa, but you don't deserve the baby. It is a very, very powerful musa. It's incredible musa. If, look, compare who is being punished, compare Rashi and Yonis and Menuzil versus Rabbeinu Hananel, and it comes out an incredible, incredible musa haskel. According to Rashi and Targum, Moshe is chayiv. Moshe, where are you? Where are you? You're asleep at the switch. Therefore, you're chayiv. You're going to be punished. The baby did nothing wrong. The baby will live. You're chayiv. Rabbeinu Hananel, Moshe is out of the picture. See, who's going to be punished? The baby is going to be punished. The baby? What did the baby do? Nothing. Why should the baby be punished? So who should be punished? Tzipora. Tzipora is an adult. Is she responsible for this? Not really. If you learn like according to most of Rishonim, not really. She's not chayiv. She's not responsible for bris milah. It's not her obligation. The most she's chayiv is to say that she's a shliach bezdin. Because I'm a shliach bezdin, you're not responsible. So because you're not responsible, you will not be punished. But you don't deserve the baby. Isn't that amazing? You don't deserve the baby. It means you have in front of you an obligation. In life, think about it in life. In life, we have obligations. Are we responsible for the obligation? There are things that have to get done. Things have to get done. Whose responsibility is it? So, I don't know. Maybe it's my responsibility. Maybe it's your responsibility. Maybe... If it's your responsibility and you don't do your responsibility, you're going to be punished. You're going to suffer directly. If it's not your responsibility, but it has to get done and you don't want
to get involved,
then you know something? I'm not going to punish you. Why not? You don't deserve it. You're not being punished. You're alive, you're healthy, you're well. You have, psychological pain? Go to a therapist. The object that you treasure, you just don't deserve it. If it's not important enough for you to get it done, then it goes to show that you don't need this. You don't need the baby. It's mind-boggling how Hashem punishes people. Over here, there's punishment. You can't deny the fact that in the Parashat Shemos, there's a terrible Midas Hadin. Not terrible. There's a Midas Hadin that is coming down with incredible toikif. The child of the Gadol Hadar is dying. Or is it the child that's dying? Or is it Moshe that's dying? Who's dying here? You have three people. Either Tzipora, Moshe, or the baby. No one says that Tzipora is going to suffer. Who's the choices left? either Moshe is going to die or the child's going to die. What does it all depend on? If it's going to be Moshe, because Moshe, you're responsible. This Rashi and the Targum don't deal with this issue of Oseg HaMizpatan HaMitzvah. Clearly not. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can multitask. You can multitask. You have to save Klal, so you have to take care of your children. You don't want to do what you're responsible, so you deserve to be punished. Tzipora, according to Moshe, she has no obligation. She has no obligation. If she has no obligation, what is she? She's nothing more than Sheikh Bezdin. So, Karir de Beishutfei, Le Karir v'Le Chamimei. But if it's not important enough to get it done, obviously, then you don't need the child. So it's a punishment that's an indirect punishment. Some will tell you it's even worse, right? It's even worse to lose a child than to feel the suffering yourself. But that's not the way it goes. If it was really important, then you would have done it, even though I'm not obligated to do it. That's what comes out. And the Musa Haskell is in life, there are things that we have to do, and if we don't do, we're in trouble. And then there are things that we don't have to do. But it has to get done. And if we don't get involved, like you said, someone that were, you don't get involved, then you know what the punishment is? Then that thing that we, that object that we should have gotten involved with, will go away. We won't be nene from it. That's the Musa Haskel that comes out of the halacha, of the Nyoni halacha, that you can be mefalpel with in these three inyans. Sach HaKol, we learned today three mehalchim in the Pasuk. We learned the inyan of why the meat of Oisoi, there are two chiyuv, there's a chiyuv for the father to do it, there's a chiyuv for the Bezdin, two different psukim, Oisoi v'loy Oisa, and then there's a drasha of himol, that's the Bezdin, and we learned there's a whole dilemma if you can call it a mitzvah shazman grama, because it's not your typical zman grama, because once it starts, it never ends. Is there a din of why do we need the pasuk of oisay v'lo yosso when we can say v'limadhem oisam esmanechem, if you're not chayv yourself, you should not be chayv for someone else? Maybe that's only when the Torah openly, explicitly exempts you, not when the reason for your exemption is a technical matter. And then the nafkamina here of the Musa of how to of what kind of punishment was taking place based upon who exactly is chayv in this mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop here.